daily dose of debate, breaking news, and uncensored views. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day, another great week, in fact, in this greatest nation on God's green earth, but a great week, surely, of very, very bitter confrontation, denunciation, misunderstanding, insult, aggression, and apology. Well, not much of that. We are entering a period of time where Americans aren't feeling very good about the direction of the country. There's a dramatic poll that was just released today that shows that the country, which a couple of months ago in May was feeling pretty good about the direction we were going. We had a higher rating about the direction we were going. President Biden had a fairly high approval rating. Not anymore. It's crashed and burned. It's dropped 20 points since May. The nation's optimism about the country's direction. Most Americans believe that the coming months of 2021 are going to bring us worse times, not better times. Why is that? We will get into that. Certainly some of it has to do with the huge upsurge of crime, of disorder. And the other aspect of it, and I think probably the most important, has to do with the very bad news about COVID, which we thought was behind us. We thought we were coming up to herd immunity, we would be better, a great majority of Americans would get vaccinations. Remember, President Biden didn't promise that everybody would be vaccinated by July 4th, but July 4th, which is almost a month ago now. I mean, what is it? But it's 3 weeks ago. July 4th, we were supposed to have 70% of adults who had at least gotten a first vaccine. Well, in the more meaningful standard, we have barely over half of Americans who have gotten both vaccines. And that's really what it takes to try to have an effective response, particularly to the Delta variant, which is ravishing and harming and threatening the whole world and threatening economic recovery and threatening all those good things we thought we had to look forward to because of the vaccines. What is to be done? We will talk about that. We will also talk about a question asked by a liberal. And a liberal at the University of California in the Bay Area of California, obviously, and actually at the University of California, San Francisco, across the bay from University of California, Berkeley. The scholar says that the homeless problem is easy, but the fact that we're not dealing with the easy solution to the homeless problem creates a situation where people have no faith at all in government. The last part of what he says, I think, is true. It does. When people see that there are literally thousands and thousands and thousands, they now estimate there are over 120,000 homeless people in the state of California. Half of the homeless people in the whole country are in California. And why? Well, we will get to that on the Michael Medved Show as well. But first off, if let me give you the details on this new survey. It's not a story from some kind of anti-Biden or anti-Democratic or Republican or Fox News or anybody like that. It's from the very heart of the mainstream media, which was supposed to be the cheering section for Joe Biden, right? That's what everybody assumed. And it's ABC News. And ABC News says, as President Joe Biden completed 100 days in office, the country was optimistic about the coming year. But now, just after hitting the six-month mark for President Biden, Americans' optimism about the direction of our country has plummeted nearly 20 points. A new ABC News Ipsos poll finds a clear majority, 55% of the public, say they're pessimistic about the direction of the country. That's a dramatic change from the roughly one-third, 36%, that said that same thing on ABC News poll published May 2nd. Americans were more optimistic than pessimistic by a 28 percentage point margin back in May. Now, optimism is underwater by 10 points. In other words, that's been a swing in terms of optimism of 38 points. It's devastating. Looking ahead to the next 12 months, fewer than half now report feeling optimistic about the way things are going, a significant drop from about two-thirds in the May poll. Chipping away at ambitious agenda, Biden marks 6 months as president, but it has having no effect on building his popularity or his approval rating. The decline in optimism has occurred across the board among Democrats, Republicans, and independents. Optimism is now down about 20 points among Democrats. Well, it's still high. I mean, among Democrats, he was almost unanimous in approval back in May. But it's dropped from almost over 90% approval down to 7 in 10, 71%, who now say they're optimistic about the direction of the country over the next 12 months. That's much lower than the nearly universal 93% approval that Democrats gave Biden on his handling of the pandemic. In politics today, partisans usually are more unified in their support or opposition to particular issues or people. The optimism-pessimism flip comes as Americans give Biden his lowest approval rating for his handling of the pandemic yet in an ABC News poll. Just over 6 in 10, 63% approve of the president's response to the coronavirus. But his response on many other issues, particularly immigration and crime, are disastrous. And part of that is the continuing carnage in city after city, where here in Seattle, Seattle made national news for all the wrong reasons. There's a CNN story. Four shootings in Seattle leave three dead, five injured. And there's more this morning. This is Chief Adrian Diaz of the Seattle PD speaking about the Sunday shootings in Belltown, Pioneer Square, and the Chinatown International District. They left three dead and four injured. Listen. Clip nine.
Officers responded to multiple shootings and shots fired tonight. At 1:48, officers responded to First and Blanchard regarding a fight disturbance, which ended up resulting in a shooting. We have one deceased at that location. During the investigation of that, officers responded to 2nd and South Washington, where we had over 300 people letting out from a nightclub. We had multiple shootings occur at this location. We had five total victims, two are deceased. While investigating that, officers responded to 12th and South Main, where we had a victim also show up later at the hospital. We've had resources from all throughout the city responding to this shooting scene. Tonight, we've had seven total victims, three deceased. This is what we've been talking about, the uptick in gun violence from 2020 into 2021. And we've got to figure out a way to get the guns off the streets.
Okay, how about getting the bad guys off the streets? It's easier and more appropriate. And by the way, since Chief Diaz, who's trying his best, since Chief Diaz made that statement, there have been two more shootings. It's just unbelievable, including one this morning. This morning. This is appalling in what was formerly and traditionally has been one of America's safest cities. And Seattle has. How they doing in Chicago? 73 people hit by gunfire. At least 11 have died so far, including a 17-year-old. We'll give you a perspective on that. If this doesn't indicate why it is that people are pessimistic and the talk that they need to do more to do mask mandates or vaccination identification, or we are going to be going back into all kinds of limitations due to the pandemic. We will get to that and much more. Also, what's driving our cops away from their jobs? We'll be right back on the MedVed Show. On the Michael Medved Show right before the break, bringing you up to date of about the latest violence here in Seattle. And then, of course, the extraordinary level of violence in Chicago, which does seem to get worse and worse every week. It is just appalling, beyond belief appalling, and obviously has a major contribution to the fact that people, according to this ABC News poll, and ABC News poll would have no reason to, quote, make it look bad, but people now think, by a very substantial margin, America's headed in the wrong direction. Things are going to get worse before they get better, or if they ever get better. I mean, people look around and they see what's going on, and it's very tough, and that is why a lot of cops are giving up, it seems to me. Ruben Navarrete, who is a son of a cop, guy who spent 37 years in the San Diego Police Department, Ruben says the cops who are leaving are wrong. They shouldn't do it. And in fact, they're betraying the public. We will get to that issue coming up on the Medved Show. First, the very latest two shootings. Late last night, Como did a report on a drive-by shooting in Lake City, here in Seattle area. This is just north of downtown. This is the Como report, clip 17.
Yeah, good morning. We're in Lake City, just off of 33rd and about 127th. And take a look at what we found when we got here. Bullets that grazed this tree. And behind us, we count at least eight more bullet holes. We have got broken glass here, too. Right now, Seattle police, they're looking for several people who were in a car. They drove up, opened fire on a man as he was walking to his apartment. That man was killed. Another person was grazed by a bullet, all after a chaotic weekend citywide. Nine people shot, four of them killed in less than 24 hours. The violence extending across all corners of Seattle.
And not finished. This morning around 8:30, a shooting at Yesler Way downtown. This is a spokesman for the Seattle Police Department, clip 18.
Officers were dispatched to the 800 block of Yesler Way this morning at around 8:30 a.m. Four reports of shots fired. When officers arrived, they found a man with a single gunshot wound to the leg. Seattle Fire Department medics took that man up to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries where he's currently being treated. Our gun violence reduction unit is now taking over the investigation and working to develop a suspect description.
I'm glad they have a gun violence reduction unit. It clearly needs reinforcements. Look, we're not anywhere near Chicago, but this is appalling. And you think about it, it's all in the middle of the night. I know it's a full moon. This last one was 8:30 in the morning. What is this about? What are people? I mean, sometimes people say it's road rage. None of this apparently was road rage. There was a bar fight. There were 300 people coming out of a bar, and the bar fight led to gunfire and to death. And again, aren't we better than this? Aren't we able to somehow do better than we're doing right now? The Chicago situation. People were shot in all but four of the city's 22 police districts. It's a big city, Chicago. They have 22 police districts. 18 of them had shootings over the weekend. More than half the victims were attacked in the Austin and Harrison police districts. That's on the west side. And the Gresham and Englewood districts on the south side. Those are heavily black districts. And it is a terrible, terrible shame. The majority of shooting victims this year, and they've had 426 homicides this year. 2 years ago, that number was 289. 289 is appallingly high. But 426 homicides, That's up 48% in 2 years. Why? You can't say it's because of the pandemic with the shooting and killing surging again now that the pandemic is relaxed somewhat. And as a matter of fact, in some places across the country, violence went down during the pandemic because there are fewer people going to bars and nightclubs or just hanging out on the street. Well, now people are hanging out on the street. And surely we need a concerted national effort with some of the fine people we have in policing to do something about this. And by the way, I am not one of those people who downplays what happened on January 6th, that now it appears there is a second Republican who has accepted that he's going to participate in the investigation with a select committee that was selected by Nancy Pelosi. It's Adam Kinzinger of Illinois, who's one of the 10 Republicans who voted to impeach President Trump. But Congressman Kinzinger is taking part in this, and I think it's all appropriate to go ahead and investigate and figure out what is happening at the about the riot, how it could happen, how it was encouraged, how it was planned, if it was planned, and why there was such a failure from the Capitol Hill Police and from the Metropolitan Police Department as well. What went wrong? Okay, that's all appropriate to investigate, seems to me. And I'm actually glad that there are some Republican voices that will be participating who are both with strong conservative voting records, by the way, that both Kinzinger and Liz Cheney are going to be on that commission, fine. But when you think about it, there are 140 police officers, law enforcement officers, who were injured during the 6-7 hours of the Capitol Hill riot. We have that kind of injury literally every weekend. And just if you name just a few cities, we need an investigation, not an investigation, but we need action because we know what it takes to try to reduce crime. We've done it before. We can do it again. But it's going to take concentration, investment, and a consensus in America that this is utterly unacceptable. And we have to do better. Meanwhile, we'll talk with Ruben Navarrete about this issue of police leaving police forces. That's part of the problem, is there are less personnel, there are fewer personnel to count on, and it's much harder to do police recruiting. What needs to be done to improve that? We will get to that and more coming up with Ruben Navarrete on The MedVet Show. Michael Medved Show, a pleasure to welcome back Ruben Navarrete, syndicated columnist, podcaster, host of Ruben in the Center, a Navarrete Sonic Podcast Network, TV radio guest, author, a Harvard Chicano, as he puts down, scribe, speaker, and communications strategist. Boy, that's a lot, Ruben.
That's a lot, but I've been following your lead for 30 years, my friend, and I still haven't quite caught up with you.
Well,
we have
you.
Lots of jobs between us. We do.
Yes, but there are lots of jobs for police officers that they're walking away from. And the numbers that you have in your column, we've posted at our website at michaelmedved.com. The headline's very provocative. It says, the definition of a bad cop, one who flees the profession. Do you blame cops, given the amount of contempt and danger and hostility that they're dealing with right now? Do you blame some of them for wanting to give up and find another job?
Yes, I blame them. I understand what they're going through better than most. As you well know, my dad was a cop for 37 years. Not all those years were picnics. I've talked to many cops who are retired. They can tell you there were various times in their long careers where they thought about hanging it up. But they didn't. And that's because, like, teachers and nurses, cops, they're not driving a delivery truck bringing bread in the morning. They're doing a job that's really indispensable that we count on. They've taken an oath. And so I do blame them if they're leaving, Michael, for one reason. If they're leaving because they thought that they were going to be loved and appreciated in this job, then I do blame them because they simply read the job description wrong. That was never going to be part of the job. And one thing I hear a lot of, Michael, maybe you do too, is they're concerned that they become the bad guys. They got in to be the good guy, and now they're being perceived as the bad guy. And I said, well, join the club, pal. I'm a journalist. I know what it's like to be universally hated, you know, by right, left, and center, but I don't hang it up, and neither should you.
Yeah, journalists right now, you're right. If you look at those polls about the respect and trust and affection that people have for different professions, journalists are way down there with used car salesmen and U.S. congressmen. U.S. congressmen
are
always...
Cops are still ahead of us. Cops are still a lot of trust and credibility and affection, appreciation for cops, much more than for journalists. It's true.
Which is probably appropriate, but go ahead.
No, I agree. It is appropriate. And so that's really kind of what bothered me. I listened to a lot of, interviews by police officers after traumatic shootings and certainly after the George Floyd murder. And there is this kind of sense that the profession isn't as fun as it used to be. And I thought, well, gee whiz, there are a lot of jobs out there that are not so fun. Imagine being an emergency room nurse and spending an entire year counseling COVID patients who couldn't have their family at their side as they were passing away and they had to hold their hand. They did it every single day for a year. I mean, these are saintly people, right? So I just get, Michael, a little fed up when I hear people playing the victim. Oh, I've got a tough job. I didn't really sign up for this. I mean, take a number, pal. There are a lot of more difficult jobs than yours.
Yeah, my daughter-in-law, my son's wife, obviously, is an oncology nurse. And does an amazing job both with her children and on her job. Look, one of the things that I was thinking about is what seems to be different today. And again, the numbers that you're looking at is the, according to NPR figures, the retirement rate for police officers jumped 45% last year. And resignations are up 20%. According to a June survey of 200 police departments. What can we do to try to not only encourage cops to stay on the job, but find new, gifted, committed, the cops we need for the future?
It's a very good question. You know, for a long time, money's not the answer, I'll tell you that. For a long time, my friends in the Republican Party were right when they talked about the fact that the public service unions have gotten so big and so powerful that they were going to become a problem in many different ways. And one way in which they become a problem is they secure these gold-plated pensions for police officers who do very well in retirement, Michael, thanks to the strength of their union, not unlike teachers. And what we've seen here is we can throw a lot of money at police officers. You know, if you're the captain of a police department like size of like Seattle, you're doing very well financially. It still hasn't made them happy. Because job satisfaction is wrapped up in lots of other things, including how people see you. And so I think a couple of things. We need to stop throwing money at the problem and thinking that somehow if we pay them more, they're going to be happy. We need to give them what they really crave, which is for more respect and more appreciation. And that's why the column ends on a very positive note. It says, you know, may St. Michael, who's the patron saint of law enforcement, protect and guard over those cops who are still on the job every single day, who haven't quit. Because we should be grateful that they're in our corner. And so the column is not to bash on cops. The column is to praise those cops who stick it out and go to work every morning. And like your daughter-in-law, go do this terribly difficult job that nobody said was going to be easy, but God bless them for the work they do.
What about, and it's one of those things I was thinking about reading your column. One of the things that's new and different is there's a whole massive national organization right now identified as Black Lives Matter that leads protests and petitions and demonstrations and political pressure that is basically anti-cop. I don't think it's unfair to say that Black Lives Matter is anti-cop. Yeah. Wouldn't it be great to put together some kind of nonpartisan, non-political organization just supporting law enforcement? And I'm not talking about the wonderful charitable drives they do where they collect money in a boot to to help various causes in the community. I'm talking about something to be out there, to express public opinion, to show support for police as an institution.
Yes, I think that should be done on the macro level and on micro level. We should do it in our day-to-day. You've heard these wonderful stories of people who go and buy a bunch of $10 gift cards from Starbucks or someplace, and they hand them out to cops and coffee shops. You know, here, this is for you. I appreciate what you do.
Yeah, as opposed to the Starbucks that won't serve cops.
Yeah, I've bought meals for cops before anonymously, you know, when they've had difficult times in cities I've lived in. There's a lot we can do to appreciate those people who are sticking it out on the job. But for those people who play the victim, who became a cop 5 years ago because they like the idea of the pension and maybe like the power and the control, you know, and now all of a sudden, my goodness, I'm not Batman and Robin. I'm not seen as a good guy. I'm seen as a bad guy. Okay, I'm checking out. Well, you know what? There are plenty of help wanted signs. Go sell shoes. Go into retail. Go become a butcher, baker, candlestick maker, because we don't need you on this job. And this job is a serious job for serious people. And, man, did you take a wrong turn on career day.
Generally, aside from backing up cops more, which we need to do, and hiring more cops, what do we do about this crime crisis that's going on right now? I mean, we had 73 people shot over the weekend in Chicago. Can you believe it?
Yeah. I think that what we're learning here is I've always been a big fan of community policing. I think it went out of vogue. It became you know, something that was looked at in a trivial way. But it's a real thing. It means that the best lawman in my lifetime wasn't Dirty Harry. It was Andy Taylor. It was a sheriff on a TV show who knew everybody and everybody knew him. And if you get the community willing to communicate with and cooperate with cops, you're going to have a safer environment. And unfortunately, one of the things that's happened after George Floyd is many people, when they're pulled over by police, it's no wonder they run and they take off and they're afraid, particularly if they're black, you know, in some cases Latino as well. It's a terrible situation we've arrived in. But I think we're seeing that now, Michael. I think one of the reasons we have such high crime rates is because we're not getting help from the community. And we really need that help from the community. We need them to see police officers as partners and saviors and guardians and not as the enemy.
Well, that also addresses the problem you're talking about of losing too many police officers. We've posted your column up at our website at michaelmedved.com. More on this question of crime in Seattle and Chicago around the country. And what happens next? Nobody knows, but we'll try to figure that out because there are more details on some of these crime sprees that have been going on around the country coming up on the MedVed Show.
The greatest show on God's green earth.
Save us from the madness.
It's the Michael MedVed Show.
Michael MedVed Show, I had an interesting conversation over the weekend with a friend, smart guy, and he was basically talking to me about spending too much time on the air, and I deliberately spend a lot on this crime issue, and basically his point was, look, we're facing this overwhelming virus. It hasn't gone away. The cases are going up. There are 600,000 dead bodies out there, including the sad story of Phil Valentine, colleague on talk radio, who had been basically making fun of the vaccines and been a vaccine skeptic. And he's been very sick. He's in the hospital. God willing, he should make a full and speedy recovery. Certainly hope that for him. But the point being that the level of just upset and loss and devastation by the virus is so much higher when you talk about in 2 years more than 600,000 dead in that same period. If you want to talk about people who are killed in murders, it's less than 1/100th of that. It's not 600,000 you're talking about. You're talking about the six. It could be 60,000 killed if you include suicides. But if you don't include suicides, it's if I said 1/100, that's wrong. But we are certainly talking about 1/20. It's a much lower rate of death. And the difficulty with crime is that for everyone who is wounded in these shootings, there are more people by far who are wounded than the people who succumb. And to just get a sense of what they can mean to a city or to the way we live, it's actually worthwhile to just read some of the descriptions that are there in recording the city of Chicago, 73 people hit by gunfire. And listen to this, that a 17-year-old and a 15-year-old boy were in the backyard of their home in South Peoria Street in Englewood when someone opened fire about 1:15 a.m. Sunday. 17-year-old was shot in the chest and was taken to the University of Chicago Medical Center, where he was pronounced dead. The 15-year-old was hit in the stomach and taken to the hospital in serious condition. Around the same time, a man was shot to death in a drive-by in the Austin neighborhood on the northwest side. The man, 37, was standing on the sidewalk with a group of people when someone in a blue car fired at them. He was hit in the head and taken to Loyola University Medical Center, where he was pronounced dead. He's 37 years old. He's standing on the street. He's talking to some people. A guy drives by in a blue car, shoots him. In Chatham, a man was shot and killed as he stood in front of a 24-hour convenience store on a busy street in Chatham in the South Side Saturday evening. Someone walked up to Theodore Smith and shot him in the chest around 8:15. He was also pronounced dead when he arrived at the hospital. In the South Shore, a 19-year-old man was fatally shot Friday night. Jan Arrow DeBerry was near the sidewalk when someone opened fire, striking him multiple times. Police and the medical advisor said DeBerry was pronounced dead at University of Chicago Medical Center. At least seven other people were killed. Five men were wounded in an attack. This is all one weekend. Early Sunday in the Austin neighborhood, they were gathered in the backyard of a home when somebody entered and opened fire. The men, 23, 30, 36, 48, and 50, suffered gunshot wounds in the lower body. Look, it's not just the count of wounds and fatalities. It's what it does to the whole sense of life in a city. It's what it does to the whole level of insecurity and fear and the impossibility of actually sitting out in your yard without thinking, who's going to come by and shoot me now? Now, one of the things that has been pathetic about the Democratic Party, frankly, is their only answer to any of this is new gun laws. The fact is, the city of Chicago has some of the toughest gun laws in the country. And yes, they do need to get guns out of the hands of career criminals and gang members. That's important. But even more important is getting them off the street, because they'll find a way to find guns, or they'll find some other way to commit their mayhem. The problem here is bad people, not just the weapons they use. And that doesn't say we shouldn't do everything we possibly can and do far more to keep firearms out of the hands of bad people. But this also goes to the destruction of property, the destruction of businesses, the disruption of lives. I mean, can you imagine? And here, when you're facing something like this, the police, when they're called, it's usually too late. And one of the things that has been pathetic about Chicago, the Attorney General of the United States, who's from Chicago, Merrick Garland, even commented on this, is the very, very small percentage of these new shootings that are cleared, where they find out who has perpetrated it. And part of the problem is that they don't get the cooperation they need from the neighborhood. And this is why, I think it's great. I hope they do have an infrastructure bill, and I hope they make some progress and they get this spending somewhat under control and deal with all the various other issues that people are concerned about. But this is fundamental. I cannot believe that the President of the United States has not given a speech to the country about the crime surge, which is going to wreck his presidency, and more to the point, it's going to wreck our country. And again, people want to make progress on this issue of race. You can't do that without providing more safety and more reliability in communities of color. And this is not safety from police officers. It's safety provided by police officers. And all of that is going to have to change, require a very great change of message in terms of priorities from the president and the vice president and Speaker Pelosi and Senator Schumer and all the rest. Because aside from the game of politics, and yes, tomorrow there's another special election for a crucial House seat in the 6th District of Texas, I can say with absolute certainty the Republican will win. Why? Because both candidates who cleared the primary were Republicans. So that shouldn't be partisan. But looking at actually not just winning votes, but saving lives and repairing the torn fabric of our society, this is beginning to feel more and more like the 1970s and the era of Jimmy Carter, when things are just going wrong and the government looks increasingly helpless. We cannot be helpless in the face of crime and degeneration and property destruction and homelessness. There's a story here in Seattle, we will cover it, about a spray park for hot days, for hot weather, for kids to play in Ballard. I've seen it. I've walked through it. It looks nice. Kids can run around, and it sprays water, and they can cool off and sort of dance in it. And see. Guess what? They've had to close it. No more spray. Why? Because it would disturb the homeless people who are camping there. This is insanity. And again, giving some priority to people who are working hard, trying to pay their bills, trying to mind their own business, wanting more than anything else, just safety and protection against the people who are now let out without bail. We had three strikes you're out in our state. They did across the country. That has been peeled back, and it's a disaster. Let's hope the new mayor of New York, who is likely to be Eric Adams, former police captain, can do, as many people hope he will, lead the way to a reinvigoration of police services for the sake of all of the citizens in every big city all across this greatest nation on God's green earth. We need progress and we need optimism. Not the overwhelming sense that we're losing faith in this greatest nation on God's green earth.